Whether you grew up on it or watched your children grow up on the show, the award-winning Bear in the Big Blue House that aired on the ABC was a show that was loved by children and adults around the world. It aired for four seasons from 1997 and featured many fun, colourful characters like Tutter, the small blue mouse who loves cheese, Pip and Pop, the two purple otter twins who lived in their otter pond, Ojo, a curious red bear cub, Trilo, the playful lemur, Luna the moon, and of course, the kind and lovable bear of whom the show Bear in the Big Blue House centered around.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Big Blue House. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Big Blue House. Door is open.
Come on in.
Now you're here.
So let's begin.
And with Bear in the Big Blue House now available to watch on Disney Plus Australia, it's a huge honour to welcome to the show the man behind, inside and out, the performer, puppeteer of Bear himself, the very talented Noel McNeil. Noel, welcome to the show.
Hello, Troy. How are you?
Very good, my friend. How does it feel, Noel, having Bear finally at a home on Disney Plus?
It's a lesson in never say never, because I never thought that this show would be brought back. And so I was actually in the park on my birthday, and I was walking through, and somebody texted me, "Oh, congratulations on Bear and Disney Plus." And immediately I thought, "What?" And I went to three different websites and just to see if this was actually true. And it turned out it was. And so that's when I sat down and did this little TikTok video to announce. And being on TikTok, I've done all kinds of like little videos as myself with my puppet of Bear. So it's a puppet of a puppet, which is very meta. But I thought, let me just sit down and just do this little announcement. And so I sat there and all I said was, "Hi, I'll make this really quick. Guess what's finally coming to Disney Plus October 19th? And I had a little strain of the theme, instrumental theme underneath. And that was it. It was like, I think it was like something like 6 seconds or something. To this day, over 3 million people have seen this.
I'll be quick. Guess what's finally coming to Disney Plus October 19th?
And thousands of people have liked it and shared it and marked it as their favorites. And I asked my son, who's 17 going on 42, because he got me on TikTok. And I said, how does this happen? And being a teenager, you think he would know, because this is like, you know, social media. Even he was like, "Dad, I don't get the algorithm for this." So I was like, just enjoy it.
Yeah, that's huge numbers. That's massive. So obviously there's been a huge, people are loving that Bear is fun. Do you call it a home on Disney Plus? Is that the technical term? Is that the industry talk?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I guess because Bear is a Disney property, and so being on Disney Plus is like, you know, he's come home to Disney Plus. So yeah, you can say that. Yeah, the Big Blue House has finally found a home on Disney Plus. So there you go.
If it's not an industry term, we'll just pretend it is so we sound intelligent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it sounds good.
Now, it's 25 years ago is when Bear in the Big Blue House started, it's hard to comprehend that it was that long ago, because it doesn't feel that long. I remember watching it for the first time on our ABC TV here in Australia. Do you remember a lot of working on the show, like the behind the scenes and your co-stars, Pete Lintz and Tyler Bunch, and working with them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Peter Lintz, Tyler Bunch, Vicky Eibner, and Jim Krupa.
Yep.
And we were all like the cast of this show. And when we did it, I mean, first of all, it was our show. This was like the opportunity for us to actually have this show and create this show, because Peter and I have done other shows together. We've done, before this was a show called, here in the United States, it was called The Puzzle Place. And we've also, of course, he and I worked together on that other little show called Sesame Street. Mm. So this, and then Jim Krupa and I worked on a show that was on Nickelodeon for many years. It was called Eureka's Castle. And then I met Vicky and Tyler through Bear. So this was our opportunity to this be our show and to create these characters for this show. And so when we were doing this, we were just having fun. And we really had no idea of the longevity, like the lasting impression this would have. We knew that kids liked it because as the seasons went on, we would have kids come and visit the set. And it got so popular to the point where during the fourth season, we actually would, every 2 weeks, like on a Wednesday, we would start rolling cameras at 9, and then we'd get what we could get. And then at 10 o'clock, we would stop for like half an hour. And that's when the kids who had been invited could come through. And it became sort of like its own little like Disney attraction, where they would start at one end of the set and like work their way through the attic and the otter pond and the kitchen until finally they got to the living room and there was Bear on the swing. And through the whole time, they would roll videotape. Our director, Dean Gordon, called it the Bar Mitzvah tape. And so they would roll tape so that by the time the family got to Bear and then said goodbye, as they were leaving the studio, they got a copy of it to take with them so that as a little remembrance. So we knew kids like loved the show. And it was a great way to remind ourselves of this is why we're doing it. This is why we're here. But we had no idea how long lasting this was be. That's why I'm on TikTok. My son said during the lockdown, he said, "Dad, you should go on TikTok." And I said, "What's a TikTok?" And after like, you know, a 2 minute dressing down, but that only a teenager can do, said that, "And you should use your Bear puppet." I was like, "Why?" And he's like, "Millennials. Millennials grew up on Bear. They would love to see him again." So I started doing these little videos on a TikTok, and I was like gobsmacked at how like popular and the response that these little videos got.
"Hi there, it's so good to see you. So a lot of you have asked if we could sing a song together, specifically the goodbye song, which would be great. So join me here tomorrow on TikTok and we'll sing the goodbye song."
During the early days of the pandemic, I used Bear to help kids and people, you know, learn that you need to wash your hands and you should sing a song for like 20 seconds. So I used the goodbye song as an example of that and used Bear and myself as examples. Well, this got so much attention and went viral that BBC World News interviewed me.
Oh, wow.
About this effect, yeah. And how, you know, trying to help kids through this like incredibly difficult time.
So what you're talking about, for those who may have not have seen you on TikTok, which, you know, if you aren't following Noel on TikTok, you must, because watching Noel recreate Bear is one of the most magical things you could possibly ever watch. So it is a puppet it's not the original Bear puppet. It is a puppet of that puppet made by one of your very talented puppet builder friends, James, who's also a good friend. And so how did that come about? How did you get this puppet?
So James Voitall Jr., who's an incredible builder, one of my dearest friends, he was one of the original builders of Bear. In fact, he built like one of the Bear heads. And so our very good friend, Paul McGinnis, and Haley Jenkins, who are two puppeteers. I knew Paul from The Book of Pooh, which is on Disney+. And I knew Haley, who is now also on the show Don Quixote, here in the United States, and she is Don Quixote. They were getting married, and Paul asked that, because Haley used to be a puppeteer down at Walt Disney World doing the Bear show there, and she loved the show and the TV show. And during the reception, Paul asked, "Could I and Peter and Tyler sing the song Otter Love from the show during the reception?" I thought, "Oh yeah, that'd be great." And then I began to think, you know, it's kind of like just weird having these like three grown men doing these voices and just singing. So I made a Pip and a Pop otter puppets for Peter and Tyler to use. And then I got this fur to try and make Bear. And since James had made one of the original heads, I kept texting him one day asking like, okay, what should I do? How should I do this? How should I do that? Almost like for almost an hour. So finally he said, no, just send me the fur. I'll do it. And so I sent him everything. And so like, you know, like a couple of weeks later, at the wedding, I get a knock on my hotel room door and James is there with this like laundry bag. And I open it up and I pull it out and it's just this gorgeous piece of art that only James can do, because James gives 125% in everything he does. And this was just the most gorgeous thing I had ever seen. I actually teared up because I couldn't believe how well it turned out. And so I used it for the reception. And then that's why my son suggested I use it for TikTok. And I've used it on TikTok since then. And also now on Cameo. So I fulfill little requests for people of birthdays, holiday greetings, birth announcements, even words of encouragement. Yeah. And it's really sweet that people still resonate with this character. And now the fact that a whole new generation is seeing it. In fact, the original generation that grew up on Bear, some of them have kids now and are introducing their children to the show they grew up with. And they're posting reactions of their kids watching the same episode that they watch, and their kids reacting the same way they did, of like just watching, laughing, giggling, kind of like, you know, startled or just like surprised at the sniffing and like just swaying along to Bear and Luna. Also on TikTok, there's this little phenomenon. Apparently dogs love watching the show too. So people have posted videos of their dogs watching the show and just staring at it, or just like, I don't know. Maybe dogs feel finally it's somebody that I can relate to and who gets it, and like the whole sniffing thing. I don't know, but they were so dogs just staring at the screen.
That's bizarre. Well, I want to get to you brought up Cameo. I want to get to that shortly, but let's go back to we're on TikTok. It was the pandemic that really blew Bear up online for you. Why do you think that people really resonated or needed Bear throughout the pandemic?
It's interesting because I don't know if it would have had that same kind of reaction if it had just been the world as we knew it. But in 2020, everything just changed and everything literally just stopped. And we all went through this incredibly traumatic experience together on a global scale, which nobody had ever gone through before. And hopefully we never have to go through again. And so being of a society now that's so almost dependent upon social media as a way of communicating and getting information from the outside, as well as socializing. The fact that I went on TikTok and started doing this, people suddenly had this sort of recognition from their childhood. And my son kidded that if we got a dollar for every time someone used the word childhood in their comment, we could buy our own island, because it was just like, thank you for my childhood. This was my childhood. I didn't have a great childhood. This was the best part of my childhood. And the fact that during this incredibly traumatic time that people could somehow find a little bit of joy seeing this character again. I even did a video of Bear congratulating graduates of the class of 2020, because people weren't able to get their graduation. So I put this out and people were just, on TikTok, there's an ability where you can do the duet. And so people are on one side and then they've been told, like, just watch this and duet it. And you can see their genuine reaction of seeing Bear congratulating them. And they've written comments of, you helped start my childhood and now you're helping me start my adulthood. Thank you so much.
To the graduates of 2020, congratulations. You did it. Well done. You knew it wouldn't be easy, but you really didn't expect this. A bear giving you a commencement pep talk, but you did it. You should be very proud of who you are and how far you've come. So remember, as you journey through life on your next chapter, as you proceed onward to that new destination that lies ahead, remember one thing. You are still smelling really good. Congratulations.
And so I think because of that, that's why my bear has done so well on TikTok and on Cameo. And now I think it's not to take all the credit, but I think it's sort of helped prime the pump that now that Bear's back on Disney Plus, like people have, I mean, during the whole pandemic and up until it was announced, people kept asking, like, please, Disney, put it back on. Please put this back on. I want to see this again. I want to share this with my kids. I need this again. And so finally that it's happened, it's like perfect timing.
Which is amazing. Now, the one of my favorite things that I love seeing Bear do is a duet with people who have sung the theme song, which is, I can only imagine the sheer joy that these creators get when all of a sudden they open up their app and they've gone, oh my goodness, Bear has duetted me singing. Do you get much of a reaction from that, or do you deliberately look for people who have sung the song just to go, ha-ha, I'm going to get you?
Some people share the post with me. Some people have tagged me, yeah, you know, in the post, and so I go. And then I if I have time, I will do it and just, like, put it up there. And then people are just shocked that actually we're doing it. And it's really cool. It's really funny. And I always have fun doing things like that. And also some of my videos, making them available so that people can, like, duet whatever Bear has done.
But which brings me to Cameo. So Cameo is, well, it's a celebrity personalized video sharing platform, for those who don't know, where people can book celebrities to do a personal greeting, or businesses can book you to do a promotional video and all that sort of stuff. How has Bear gone there?
Really, really well. People, in fact, because Bear is now on Disney Plus, I've actually gotten more requests now for cameos now. And also this other similar site called Memo.
Yeah.
And people wanting a Bear to wish them or someone they love a happy birthday. And so coming up will also be, you know, Christmas greetings or words of encouragement. But yeah, Bear's done, like, my Bear has done very popular on Cameo. I don't do business endorsements. I mean, people kind of asked me that, and I'll just say, unfortunately, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But if you want something personal for a loved one or for yourself, that's fine. So, you know, birthday greetings, anniversary greetings, holiday greetings, words of encouragement, that's fine. Because that's what Bear is for. That's what he does. He just is that encouraging, sort of nurturing person that you've always wanted in your life. Yeah. And now he's back.
Please tell me you start every Cameo video by sniffing the screen.
I do sniff.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Well, Bear sniffs. Bear does sniff. Are you eating, like, a cookie? Are you eating a donut? Are you having, like, you know, milk? Yeah.
How did that come about? That's a very unique thing to do. And a very brave thing to do, especially with camera focus and a giant puppet who, you know, you may not have full control of seeing where you're going, you know, accidentally knocking out a camera. How did that come about? Was that by accident? Was that a direction thing?
Wait a minute. What's that smell? It's you. Ooh, tell me, were you just playing with a baby? Because you have that fresh baby smell.
Well, for the actual real puppet of Bear, the walk-around puppet, I was inside, and I call it the Big Bird technology, because it was very similar to what my mentor, Carol Spinney, would do with Big Bird, and how I learned how to do that from Carol, where there's a tiny little monitor, a tiny little TV set strapped to your chest, with a microphone just above it, and you're looking down while you're inside. And my right hand was up through the neck into the head of Bear with a little trigger to blink his eyebrows. And then my left hand was in his left arm. And then the right hand was counter-levered with a little monofilament. But occasionally we would have somebody actually do his right hand, so Bear could have both hands going. But yeah, walking around from head to toe inside this thing, what you saw at home is what I saw. And it's not a mirror image, it's flipped. So if I turned my hand inside Bear's head to my left, on the monitor, it looks like Bear is looking towards my right. And because I've trained that way, because I learned this stuff from Jim, actually one of the few puppeteers who've actually got to work with and know Jim Henson.
Yep.
And so I learned it from Jim Henson and Frank Oz and Jerry Nelson and Richard Hunt and Fran Brill and Carol Spinney. I knew all of them. And so I learned this from them. And so you just get used to it. When I went in to audition for Bear, first of all, they said, use your own voice. And I was like, why? We're the Muppets. But they wanted to create a character that both adults and kids could watch together. And having a large character with kind of a goofy voice was kind of already being done by a certain Jurassic kid show host. And so they didn't want to go down that road anymore. So I just used what I called back then, my Uncle Noel mode, which was whenever I would visit friends who had kids, I would just instantly become this sort of like playmate of like, okay, whatever you want to do. And it's like my voice, just a little, maybe just a little higher, just a little like, hey there, just a little more warm. And so I used that. And then in the script, when I got inside the prototype body, it was this foam head and this, there was no fur, just the foam head and this sort of understructure. And I got inside and immediately I thought, wow, this would be really fun to do. It was amazing how I immediately thought, what a fun character this would be, because it just felt so fun to be inside. And then I thought, oh no, it's the end of the day. It's 4:45. You're the last one they called at the last minute. They probably already picked the person, which they happen to have had, and they just want to hedge their bets and just like make sure it's the right choice. So I thought, screw it. I'm just going to have fun. And so in the script, it said that at one point, as Bear's talking to the camera, he smells something and then realizes it's the person at home, the viewer. And so I had Bear's like stop and it's like, what's that smell? And I had him literally like just run around and like in a circle until finally he was like, it's you. And then I finally go to the camera and just like, I just jammed the nose all the way in and pulled it all the way back out. It's, like, it's you. And just like did it again, sniffing it. It's like, ooh, you smell like whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so, and that was that. And so it kind of established that. It was already in the script that he sniffs and realizes it's the viewer. But then the fact that I just jammed the nose all the way in and pulled it back out, I came up with that out of just the fact that I'm just having fun.
That's fantastic. Now, the show ran for 4 seasons over, I think it was 120 something episodes. Is that right?
Like 116 episodes.
16.
Yeah.
There we go. Do you have a favorite episode or a favorite scene that is just unforgettable?
Wow. There are like so many great moments from the series. Also, ones that I just don't remember. I mean, somebody posted this scene from it's on, you know, because the series is on Disney Plus. And I'm also going through and I'm just looking at titles. I'm going like, nope, no memory whatsoever, because of the fact that I couldn't put a script inside Bear. I had to memorize everything. I had to memorize each scene. And because of our time frame, the way we were shooting it, I had to memorize just what I had to do at that particular moment. And then once we were done, I would literally just like throw it away from my mind. Just go like garbage memory and just like it's gone. And so somebody would tell me, oh, I love the episode where Bear does this and the song, blah, blah, blah. And I have no memory whatsoever. So it's been interesting like going back and like seeing like, oh, I guess I did do that. Okay. yeah. But
it was 25 years ago, Noel. We could,
exactly. Yeah.
give yourself some credit. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast yesterday.
Exactly. So, One of my favorite episodes is actually the one I got to direct. Mm. And it's the one where Bear is hardly in the episode. It's called Volunteers of Woodland Valley.
When you volunteer, you're helping folks in your community. And there are all kinds of ways to volunteer. For example, some folks, like me, joined the Volunteer Fire Department. Oh, hey there. But there are ways you can volunteer in your community. For example, for your school, you could collect canned food. Or you could collect toys for kids who don't have any. Or you could clean up your park. Yeah. But whatever you do to volunteer, you're getting to know folks and places in your community better. And the best part? It makes them and you feel really great.
In it, Bear's going to go out and volunteer within the town of Woodland Valley that he and his friends live in. But he hurts his foot. And so Pip and Pop and Ojo and Trilo and Tutter go and do his volunteer work. Pip and Pop and Tutter go to story time at the library, and Ojo and Trilo go to the firehouse to help clean the fire truck. And so this was an episode that had to be specially written so that Bear wasn't in every scene the way he is in every other episode. And so it was very fun, and it was a great song that I got to direct in it called Clean Up the Truck. Mm. And so I did that, and it was the first time I actually formally directed, and I really liked the feeling, I'd like to do this again. This is really cool. Now, as it turns out, I'm also a director on Sesame Street.
And yes.
So I've really been enjoying doing that too.
Well, let's jump forward to your time directing on Sesame Street. You've been doing a lot, and in particular, I loved a piece that you directed on Sesame Street called Wes's First Barbershop Haircut.
All right, and this is it. This is the barbershop.
Wow.
Now, I know that me and your mom usually cut your hair at home, but we both thought it was time to take you to the barbershop.
Wow. So this is the place you always talk about, the place you love, the place where you come to get a very special haircut.
That's right.
Wow. Oh, Dad.
Huh?
Dad?
Huh?
I want to get a very special haircut, too.
Well, today's the day.
Oh, yeah. Those of you who don't know, Wes and Elijah are a father and son. Elijah's the dad, and Wes is his son, his young son. And they were used here in the United States during the time in 2020 and 2021 to help young children understand what was going on in terms of the racial issues that were happening, specifically the brutal deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, and wanting them to kind of understand what was happening. And then after that, because these characters were so good, performed by Bradley and Chris, who are African-American, who are Black performers, they thought, well, why don't we use these characters for something fun? In fact, Bradley and Chris actually suggested that. Let's do something fun so they're not hampered with this whole, racial issue, on their shoulders. And so that's when Chris and Brad came up with the idea of the barbershop, because it's such an integral part of the African-American community here in the United States. It's a place where people can meet and exchange ideas and hang out and talk about anything and everything. And so in setting up the barbershop, it takes a lot in terms of it, because we were doing it in the little studio that's at a Sesame Workshop. And so it's against a green screen, blue screen. And so it's all created. The backplate is created. And in the script, it was described that there's posters of maybe athletes of the neighborhood, even possibly older pictures of people. And so I kind of used that to suggest what the barbershop could look like. And so I I drew out like what that backplate as a suggestion could look like. And I used two pictures of my ancestors, my great grandfather and his mother, my great great grandmother. And so they liked it so much that they asked, Noel, could we use them for the actual shoot? And I said, yes. And so when they do that pan across of the barbershop, you'll see these two pictures of these black people on the walls. And those are actually my my ancestors hanging there, which was really a point of pride for me. And it's all about Wes getting his first real haircut, his first big boy haircut, and going to the barbershop and finding out the barbershop is a place where people come and meet and hang out. Gordon from Sesame Street is even there, which I was so proud of. And he comes to watch the game, and another character comes in and talks about the new song that just came out. And Wes had no idea that the barber shop was such a place other than just cutting hair. And so that was really, it's a really sweet, genuine segment that I loved directing.
Yeah.
And I think we were going to be doing more with the barbershop because it was so well received. So we'll be going back to the Sesame Barbershop again.
Oh, good. And I hope you get to direct, because I think it's such a beautiful insight into black culture, from a different country, other side of the world. You know, for us, going to the hairdresser is just you go and get your hair cut. There's a conversation between you and the hairdresser, which is always, depending on who the hairdresser is, interesting or boring. And that's it. That's the experience. But to see that for black culture in America, that it is a full-on experience is such a beautiful thing to watch and experience as an outsider. But there was, there was the inevitable backlash from the usual suspects in the media about the direction of Wes and his dad and all that sort of, the introduction of puppets of color, I guess is the right. The correct term.
POC.
The POC, puppets of color. the usual suspects did their usual call cries, but why for you is it important that there is a more diverse representation, not only on Sesame Street, but on television?
Well, when I was growing up, there were a lot more puppet shows, and that's how I got into puppetry. And I remember watching the little half-hour show being hosted by these two puppets called Ernie and Bert, talking about this brand new show that was coming on tomorrow morning on PBS called Sesame Street. And I always loved puppets, and I always loved acting. And I've at one point thought, maybe I could be an actor, but then the representation that I would see on TV for me was, young black guys are either in gangs or drug addicts or drug dealers or, killed. And so there wasn't really anything to show that, in terms of that's what I would always be cast at other than that. And so I realized, I couldn't play, Abraham Lincoln, but I could play Abraham Lincoln's hat as a puppet. It wasn't until years later, Lin-Manuel Miranda just blew that up out of the water. And here's our founding father, George Washington, this big black guy with a bald head. So I was like, okay, see, I didn't have Lin-Manuel when I was growing up. So, Peter and I worked on that show that I mentioned before, The Puzzle Place.
Yeah.
And that was back in the mid 90s. And it had a diverse puppet cast that represented different diversities of the United States. And my character, who was named Leon, was an African-American kid. And there was a Mexican-American kid, Kiki, played by Carmen Osbach, who's Rosita on Sesame Street. And there were other characters on that show. And that was the first time to actually have puppets of color part of this show. And because the whole point of The Puzzle Place was to teach kids or introduce kids to the concept of acceptance and tolerance of others. And so fast forward like now to Sesame Street, and Sesame Street has always wanted to, has always been like the preeminent kid show in terms of teaching kids, introducing them to concepts like the alphabet and shapes and numbers. And so this is also the same way, introducing the fact that there are other people in the world other than you who often like the same things that you do, but because of who they are, they might have to deal with it in a different way or may not have the opportunities to have it the same way you do. There's a character on the show, Julia, performed by Stacey Gordon. And Julia is autistic.
Yeah.
Because she's a character to help people be aware of the autistic community. And so that if you know somebody who acts very similar to Julia, it's because they too are autistic, but they still like to have fun. They can still be your friend. They can still play. They still laugh. And so in this way, with Tamir and Gabby and Wes and Elijah, and there are other characters coming too, they want kids out there to see representation in a very welcoming way. And that's what Sesame Street's always been, this sort of welcoming safe haven for fun and learning.
But you've been with Sesame Street for a very, on and off, for a very, very long time. When did you join the street? And I'm sure I would be kicked if I did not ask the question of someone who works on Sesame Street and knows how to get to Sesame Street, the question, how do you get to Sesame Street?
For me, it was an inside job. Because I went to college here.
That sounds out of context. It was an inside job.
I know, it is. It's an inside job. Well, it is.
Devious.
Because I went to college. Yes. Well, I went to college here in the U.S. in Brooklyn, New York. There was a university called Pratt Institute. And I realized that in the U.K., possibly Australia, Pratt has a whole different meaning. But
yes.
It was called Pratt after this guy. But I went there and I was a theater major, and the puppetry course was taught by the designer and builder of Big Bird and Snuffy, whose name was Kermit Love. And he worked on Sesame Street, and his assistant had resigned. And so Kermit needed a new assistant. And so he offered me the job. And so that's how I got to be on Sesame Street. And then that happened in September of 1982. So this past September, I actually just celebrated my 40th anniversary starting on Sesame Street. And now I went from being a wrangler to being a background puppeteer to now being a director for the show. So not too shabby, I would say.
40 years, that's a long time to be anywhere, in any position. Or on any street.
Exactly.
Any job.
That's a person's entire, like, pretty much adulthood into possibly, you know, being married, being a parent, being.
Yeah. Now, I've jotted down a few notes here that I'd love to chat about briefly. Last night, Tonight with John Oliver. Did I say that right? Last night, Tonight with John Oliver. No. Yes.
Last week.
Yeah. Such a confusing.
Yes.
Yes.
I know. It's John. Yeah. Last week tonight with John Oliver on. And he's first of all, John Oliver is a comedian who started on the Today Show. John Oliver is a comedian who originally was on the Daily Show here in the United States, hosted by Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
And then Jon Stewart went to direct a movie. And so they gave the 2 weeks that Jon was away to John Oliver. And he was brilliant. He was absolutely so funny. And immediately you thought, this guy should have his own show. Well, HBO thought the same thing and so offered him his own show. And it's called Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And John takes actual news events and stories and reports them. It's meticulously researched, the show. But, of course, John and his staff put their own spin on things. And so that's why you have the certain humor factor. And I've been involved because occasionally they use something really big and dumb to like walk around in, some sort of costumed character, and that would be me.
You haven't been typecast, have you, Noel? Big and dumb? No.
No, not really. Although if it's like, rather big and sweaty and cumbersome, well, I'm your guy. So.
You're the walk around.
Sure, call Noel.
Yeah, because, well, is that your specialty, walk around puppets, full body puppets? Because you doubled for Big Bird for a very long time, or still do you?
Yes, I still do. In fact, a former executive producer for the show once introduced me to a guest as, "This is Noel. He's our backup Big Bird." Now, there's a job description you'll get every day. So,
no, backup Big Bird. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. So you predominantly do – is it on the show or is it mainly only outdoor?
No, it's on the show. I've doubled for Carol, like doing the parades, but also if he's doing Oscar in a scene, then I would be Big Bird. And now I do the same thing for Matt Vogel because he took over being Big Bird. And so sometimes if Matt's away, then I'll do a scene as Bird and then Matt will come in and dub in later.
Oh, fantastic.
His Bird voice. Yeah. So I still puppeteer and assist occasionally as well as now direct. For the show. But yeah, I love walk around puppets. I can do other puppets, the hand puppets, but I really like the walk around puppets, full body puppets.
I'm sure you are one of only a few who prefer to do that because they're not comfortable. But you've also done work with the Muppets as well.
Yes.
And
as Sweetums, another walking around.
Yes, yes. But with the Muppets, everything is sort of being rebooted and Disney are doing an amazing job with the Muppets. So they're about to release a new TV show centered around the house band, the Electric Mayhem for Disney Plus.
Yes.
So with everything being rebooted, Noel, is there any chance that we might see new content from Bear and his friends in the Big Blue House?
Well, funny you should say that, Troy, because when Bear was put on Disney Plus, it started to trend. It's trended here in the United States and it's trended in the UK. And so that's when I did another little TikTok that to date has gotten almost 300,000 views. And I've just said that Bear and the Big Blue House is trending on Disney Plus. Thank you so much. Like, first and foremost, it wouldn't be doing this unless you all were watching. So thank you so much. And then I say, now here's the thing. Disney notices what's trending on Disney Plus. And Disney will think, well, if they like watching it at home, maybe they'd like to have a similar experience in the parks. And then I asked the viewer, would you want to see Bear and his friends back in the Disney parks? Because they were part of Disneyland and Disney World with their own show. And then I said, and also Disney Plus notices what's trending and they think, well, if people like this, maybe they'd like some newer content, maybe some shorts based on this, or maybe even a new original Disney Plus movie. And then I asked the viewers, would you want to see new short content or even an original Disney Plus movie with Bear and his friends? I would. And people have just been commenting down the boards, yes, 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 yes. They would love to see Bear and his friends back in the park. They would love shorts. They would love a new movie. People have now been asking for merchandise. They want merchandise back. They want a stuffed bear. They want a little Tutter. They want it back so that now they can give it to their kids. Although I'm sure there are a few adults who want like their bears back again as well. Some of them have kept like the originals and now they want like the new stuff back again. So we shall see. So, but it's all good. I actually did an interview with last week with D23 and Disney Plus and have said the same thing. And they were quite enthused, so we'll see what happens.
fingers crossed, because as a teenage fan of the show, I used to have a tutter, little pull string. He used to pull a string in his back, and he would say things. Favorite toy.
Yeah.
Favorite toy. And it was attached to my high school bag. That's how dorky I am going back. So bring back the merch, bring back the show, shorts, movie. Because was there supposed to be a movie originally?
There was talk of doing a movie, and ideas were like hashed out. And so maybe it's time to like go back and maybe revisit that, because that would be awesome too. I do know that Disney Plus likes shorts, like doing little short things.
Yeah.
And so we could always, you know, test the waters again and just do some shorts with Bear and his friends and with some real kids, because that was always fun to do. We did a spinoff of Bear in the Big Blue House called Breakfast with Bear.
Yeah.
And there are some of the episodes on YouTube. And that's when Bear would go to the real world and visit kids in their actual homes to help them start their day. And it was really fun. Having Bear interact with actual kids, it was really, and also seeing him in the outside world. So it would be really fun to see Bear, but also the other characters in the real world interacting with kids and people. So we'll see.
Yeah, which please, if Disney are listening, make it happen. Yeah. What hashtag do we need to start to get this working? No, hashtag right. Bring back Bear.
Well, actually, one idea I have right now off the top of my bear is off the top of my head, off the top of my bear, duh. Yes, is the fact that during the show, I was also a writer for the show, and I wrote this one episode. It's called Wait for Me, and it's all about patience, introducing the concept of patience. And within the show, Ojo is waiting for a package to come from her uncle, and it's a package from her uncle Koala, who lives in Australia. And it turns out to be a hat, you know, one of those hats that, you know, with the little flap on the side up. So, hey, maybe Ojo gets invited by her uncle Koala to come to Australia and to bring her friends. And so Bear and his friends could actually be in Australia for an adventure, and we could meet Uncle Koala.
Look, and you know what?
Some of Uncle Koala's friends.
Yeah, and look, for authentic representation, you're going to have to hire an Australian puppeteer, just saying.
Well, of course. Exactly. Exactly. We want to, you know, keep it homegrown.
Someone
timestamp
that and send that to Disney, please. Yeah.
Please send this. If you're listening, comment below. Share this with your Disney Australia Plus account.
I'm going to cut this and make this into the promo just so it's constantly on repeat. So just in case.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of writing, you've got a memoir coming out, which is exciting. How can people read that, or is it not out yet? Is it still being written?
No, it's not. I wrote it. I'm still like re-editing it. I actually did a crowdfunder to raise money to have it self-published, but actually, because of the crowdfunder, two independent publishers have now noticed it and have asked for it, so it might be published through them. So the memoir is going to come out, not as quickly as I thought, but it's going to be coming out within the next few months. In the meantime, there were perks that people bought in order to help. And so the perks will be coming out very shortly. I'll start doing that. And they went from everything from bookmarks to a half-hour chat with me via Zoom and a package of autographs. And the thing is, whatever perk was before that perk that you purchased, those previous perks are also included.
Yeah.
And so they will be coming out in time for the holiday season.
Just in time for Christmas. Yeah.
Exactly. We're trying to time these things as best as we can. Yes.
It's all timing. So it sounds like things are going amazing.
Knock on wood. Yeah. It's like, now that the, you know, things have picked up again in terms of work, I've done the memoir. I'm going to be directing Sesame. We're going to start season 53 premiered last week.
Yeah.
And We just had the production. We're about to have production meetings now for season 54, which will start shooting in January of next year. And then I'm also now the new backup swing vacation puppeteer for Off-Broadway's production of Little Shop of Horrors. So again, something big and sweaty and awkward. Yeah, I'll do it. Sure. I'll be a man-eating plant. Why not?
That's fantastic. Now, Noel, before we go, let's talk about more about Bear, because that's why you're here.
Okay.
What was the best experience that you had as Bear?
Actually, the best experience wasn't actually with the show. It was going out into the real world, because Bear would do appearances on TV shows. But whenever I went and did a TV show or an appearance at Walt Disney World, I always asked, could I go visit a local children's hospital? And so this is, again, back before I was a parent and just realized how important it was. But I still knew that it would be really important to have Bear go and visit kids in hospitals and also do like a little show. And so those visits were like the best part of it, because when Bear would like go into the room or sometimes just stand at the doorway if he wasn't allowed to go in and just like wave and hi, because it was me, I could actually like talk to the kid. For that moment, the parents don't see their child as a patient. They see their child as their kid again. And this isn't a doctor coming with test results or a nurse coming for blood. This is Bear coming to say hi. And their kid could actually not be a patient for those few minutes. They could actually just be a kid. And that was always so gratifying. One of the best places I visited was it's in Florida, between Kissimmee and Orlando. It's called Give Kids the World. And it's this resort designed specifically for critically ill kids and their families. And they do wishes that include all expenses paid, airline, rental cars, shuttles, park tickets, meals, everything is included to make this as magical and memorable as possible. And I've done appearances at Give Kids the World as Bear, because they have this wonderful little theater and I've done like little shows. One time when I was there, I did this little show, a little 20-minute show that I would do as Bear for like all kinds of appearances, like for bookstores, for malls, for Disney stores. And I did the little show. And afterwards, I took pictures with the kids. And one of the kids was this little girl. And her wish was to see Bear at the studios, the Disney MGM studios, which is now called Disney's Hollywood Studios, because the show was still there. By sheer coincidence, I was there that morning just before they were scheduled to go to the park to see the show and then meet Bear after. And so we had this great moment of taking pictures and talking and Bear telling her, because again, being a Disney character there, that Bear is not allowed to talk. Mm. And so Bear explaining that when you see the show, I might be a little tired after all that singing and dancing. So I'm probably not going to talk, but I'll still be there for hugs. And you give great hugs. Thus covering the fact that this bear is not going to talk to you, but I am.
That is fantastic. But yeah. And of course, yes. I like to, you know, do the two sides of the coin. So after speaking about the best, what was the weirdest experience as Bear?
The weirdest experience as Bear.
And that can include that's now, like, even with your cameo bookings, like weird requests, because I'm sure you get a few interesting requests come through.
Yes, there hasn't been anything too heinous.
Oh, you're lucky.
Actually, it was just like, I know, it was like, exactly. Now that I've said that, I'm wondering what's going to be happening now. Yeah. But it's just like, I was like, the weirdest experience would be, I don't know, it was kind of like the first time that, I wouldn't say it was weird, but it was like we were testing the waters even before there was a bear show. I suggested, you know, I'm going down with my family for New Year's to Disney World.
if you want to send Bear down in my Wrangler, the person who dresses me, I'll do a little meet and greet in the park and we'll see like what the reaction is. And Henson agreed to it. And so that's what they did. And so went to the studios, got dressed, and then Bear walked out, and there's this wall between the Chinese theater and the animation court, and just walked out and stood in front of the wall and just kind of stood there as people were passing by. And then suddenly someone does a double take and looks over and sees it's Bear and then start running over. And then other people see this person. And then all these people just start running over to see Bear. And so, and of course it's me, I'm taking pictures with people and talking to people.
Yeah.
And this cast member of the studios comes over and taps Bear on the back. And I have Bear turn around and the person whispers into the fur, like, "You're not supposed to talk." And Bear looks at this person and says, "What?" And now the cast member is looking up at Bear's face and saying, You're not supposed to talk. And Bear says, "Yes, I can. Watch me." And then turns his back on this person and then goes back to what he was doing. And so this cast member then goes over to the Henson person, and then the studio's person says, "He's not allowed to talk." And they say, no, it's okay. It's Bear.
Yeah.
And the cast member says, I know, but they're not supposed to talk with the cast. And they had to explain, no, this is the Bear from the TV show. It's okay. And as it turns out, this cast member, after we were done, this cast member asked if they could get a picture. And it's like, of course, you can get a picture. Yeah.
I think you follow that one as a surreal experience.
Right.
As opposed
One more weird experience was, there was, when I did an appearance on the UK's in London, there was a show called Gloria Honeycutt. Gloria Honeyford? Gloria Honeyford. And she had this, she was a British a talk show host. I think she was probably like, the Oprah of her time. And she had Bear on because Bear was promoting the Bear Cha-Cha-Cha was actually named an official source of exercise by the British Heart Association. And so Bear was there to promote this. Mm-hmm. And one of the first questions, I think this whole thing is actually on YouTube. You can actually go to a YouTube and say, she asks Bear, and this is on live television, like a midday little talk show. And she asks Bear, "So Bear, do you feel that the government's not doing enough for the welfare and health of our children?" And it took me like a microsecond to think, seriously, are your ratings so bad that you're trying to ambush a talking bear on your show on the political situation of Parliament and the British children? Well, are you that desperate?
That does lead to my next question, Noel.
How did I answer this?
Well, no, I was going to ask you the exact same question. Yeah, well, how did you answer?
Exactly.
How do you do that? It's like, I'm a talking puppet. Come on. I'm a kid's character. I don't do politics. Right. Yeah. Can you talk politics as a Henson, Disney character?
Well, in this instance, Bear said, "Well, I think we could all do our part to help children live better and healthier lives. Like, not only the government, but you and, like, all the caregivers, me included, to help kids, like, learn what being healthy and, being, heart smart means. In fact, that's why I'm here to promote the Bear Cha-Cha-Cha," which is, and I just went on with that.
It's just like,
and then forced her to do the cha-cha with me. So
I hope she did terribly embarrassed herself on national TV.
Yeah. she was lovely and it was fun, but it was just like just a weird like, what are you asking me? Really? Okay. Those hard-hitting questions from this journalist.
To a talking bear.
To a talking bear.
Only...
No, it was awesome. Yeah, it was great.
That's amazing. And 10 points for thinking quick on your feet whilst inside a puppet, which is not an easy thing to do. Bear in the Big Blue House is now available to stream on Disney Plus. Do yourself a favor, do your kids a favor, stream it and watch it as many times as possible so we get to get new Bear content. Noel, again, thank you so much. It's been an honor chatting with you today.
Thank you, everybody. And as Bear would say, You are all smelling really good out there.